This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's gay and lesbian community Yellow Pages, providing a wide array of gay-friendly business listings. More information at 503-230-7701 or on the web www.pdxgayyellowpages.com. Good morning. This is Marlene Howell with the Thursday Morning Radio Zine. And this morning, I'm going to be speaking with Chrissy Weslow and her husband, Chris Robley, about a recently independently produced film that they have made and also created the music for, entitled What's the Matter, Girlie? But we're going to start right now hearing an opening cut from the music that Chris Robley created for this film, and then we'll do the interview. Okay, that was the opening cut of the title music for a film called What's the Matter, Girlie? And this is a film that addresses women's experiences of menstruation and menopause. It's independent.
A lot of one woman actually said, she said, you know, I don't think doctors really understand how our hormones affect our body, and I feel like they don't get it. And so I got a lot of that response as well.
Now, tell us about the women you interviewed, like perhaps the range of ages, races, classes, where they lived, that kind of thing. Just a little overview of the demographic.
Well, I really wanted to pull from a diverse group of women. And, you know, they range from age in, you know, from 20 to 80. And I think we actually have a clip from an 80-year-old woman, Carrie, that we can play. And she talks about having her period and what she experiences with that. So we could play that.
Okay. Beth, could you bring up the Carrie and the janitor clip from the film, please?
And then as I got older in junior high school, I had terrific cramps. And I would start for the health room and would pass out in the hall. And the janitor would find me and take me to the health room, and then I would go home. But he got so that he knew my schedule better than I did, and so every month he would come looking for me. Pop Cruisin, he was a neat guy, but he said, well, it's that time of the month again, Carrie.
So that was Carrie being interviewed on the film What's the Matter, Girlie? And for any of you just tuning in, I'm speaking with Chrissy Weslow and her husband Chris Robley about a film that they have produced entitled What's the Matter, Girlie? Chrissy made the movie and Chris wrote the music for it. So that excerpt was from Carrie, an 80-year-old woman, talking about her experiences of her period.
Yes, passing out in the hallway in high school,
okay.
And the janitor.
Okay.
To find her.
Now, you have another excerpt that you've brought in from the film entitled Names.
Yes.
Could we hear that one?
When we talked about menstruation.
You know, it's menstruation, and it's, whereas period just rolls right off your tongue.
Even in college, I had an assistant news director when I was in journalism school who talked about Aunt Mary coming, and I had no concept what she was talking about. I said, oh, that's so nice, and she looked at me like I was crazy, and about the third time I commented, your Aunt Mary visits a lot.
Aunt Flo?
I got a visit from the Red Cross.
They called it the curse in those days, you know. It wasn't a blessing, it was a curse.
That was a range of women, each talking about how they named their period.
And what was the whole idea of naming it, to get more familiar with it, or to try to hide it, or try to humor it out, humor us through it? Or
I think there's always been a sense of hiding it, you know, not really being able to say I'm menstruating, which is such a weird word,
okay.
As it is. So, I mean, some of the things, you know, on the rag, and Carrie had some really funny ones, falling off the roof, or Charlie's aunt died, which didn't make any sense. So it was really funny how it, like, totally didn't even allude to having a period. It was, like, a completely different thing to say.
Okay, let's hear one more excerpt, and then we're going to talk with Chris, who wrote the music for the film. Beth Hyams, our intrepid engineer, is helping us out this morning. And Beth, why don't we hear Bleeding Like a Cow?
I got my period when I was 13 years old.
I told my mom, she just made it seem so, I mean, she embarrassed me. Like, she says, oh, you're going to start bleeding like a cow. I'm like, I can't believe you just told me that. I just, every time I remember that, it's like, every time it comes, I remember that phrase, and it's just like, I can't believe she said that. How do cows bleed anyways? Don't all animals bleed?
So you had some folks that really were very thoughtful in their responses, and this really took people back, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I really wanted, it was really important for me for this film to be funny and for the humor to sort of come out in what these women were talking about, because, you know, some of it is funny, and I think laughter is a form of healing. And I, you know, like Angie talking right there about her mom telling her she's going to start bleeding like a cow, like that was really, I think that really hurt her. And she needed to be able to laugh about it because she didn't at the time understand what that meant. And it was a very scary point in her life, as it is for every girl when they first get their period. So humor was very important for me. And women were very thoughtful, and I really tried to make them feel comfortable so they could, you know, get to that point where it let the honesty come out.
I haven't seen the film, but just hearing these excerpts, that truly does come across. So, Chris, you are the musical genius behind this film here, and we did hear your opening cut, the title music. How did it happen that you ended up deciding to do the music? Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about your musical background and why you felt that you could create music that would be appropriate for this film.
Overconfidence.
Overconfidence. I thought maybe you got drafted.
No, I did get drafted. But, yeah, normally I make pop music or rock music, and it's... I don't think anyone would describe my music as happy,
mm-hmm.
and that's something she very specifically wanted, as kind of inquisitive or bouncy, and just things that I normally don't do. So it was an interesting challenge that I wanted to do, just basically to see if I could pull it off.
Do you have a musical background, like with playing instruments or school band or singing in choirs or... garage bands or
pretty much all of that? Yeah.
All of it. Okay.
I play piano and guitar and a number of things.
Okay. And it sounded like from that title cut, if I'm not mistaken, that it was some computer stuff going on in it.
Yeah, well, that the title track is kind of a lot of electronic type stuff, which
I really wanted. I didn't want this organic sounding music, because I think people would expect that, so I wanted this sort of more cold electronic feel to it. Just
I see.
Not
okay.
To do it.
So Chris, you put in the order, and then...
Yeah, that was another interesting challenge for me. Normally, I kind of just do what I do and don't have to consult with a committee about it.
Uh-huh.
She had very specific ideas of, or at least the types of sound she wanted, so it was fun working with her on that.
So you were a little bit like some of the 17th and 18th century composers who had a patron.
Right.
Only
I didn't get paid.
Oh, you didn't get paid, right. Well, yeah, there we go.
But it's nice to be able to, you know, I just finished making a music video for his band, and I've taken photos for his band. So it's nice to be able to, like, help each other out in what we do.
So we're going to take a little commercial break here for a moment. And, Chris, you have a... gig coming up tonight, is that right? You want to tell us about it briefly?
My band, The Sort Ofs, which is not really anything like that music. It's much more kind of bashing away pop music, but we're playing at the Doug Fir tonight at 10 o'clock for free.
Okay, there you go. So if you need somewhere free to go tonight, want to hear some of Chris Robley's music, show up at the Doug Fir, basically next door to KBOO. And you can hear some live music for free 10 o'clock tonight. Okay, getting back to the film a little bit more now, Chrissy,
mm-hmm.
How do you plan to distribute it or get it out to a wider audience? What's the plan of action here?
I'm still kind of figuring that out. I recently screened at a film festival in New York in November, and am now entering more film festivals, mostly women's film festivals, to kind of find distribution. And so I don't have distribution yet, and I'm still sort of exploring and
Does it cost money to enter a film festival?
It does. There's like a entry fee. It ranges from $25 to $40.
And then I'm not at all familiar with how film festivals work. Like, do you get a prize or some kind of acknowledgement?
Some do have awards. Some are non-competitive type of film festivals. They really differ. I'm entering a wide variety Okay. Film festivals, so some are competitive and some aren't.
Okay. I'm speaking with Chrissy Weslow and her husband, Chris Robley, about a film that they have made. Chrissy made the film, Chris did the music, entitled What's the Matter, Girlie? And if you want more information from them about the film or how you could see it, you can get a hold of them through email at womenshealthfilm@hotmail.com. That's womenshealthfilm@hotmail.com. womenshealthfilm@hotmail.com. And we'll leave this also at the front desk if any of you want to send them an email to get more information about the film. So, Chris, was it at all awkward for you writing music for something that's so intensely about the female experience, female coming of age, women's bodies?
It was, for sure, because obviously I haven't had those experiences. But I'd been there through the whole process of her, you know, taking up the film, making it, and then editing it and grueling over each scene. So I'd seen it a number of times, and then she was just really good about being specific about, you know, what kinds of emotions she wanted in certain places. And I had good direction.
And just in general, how does it impact your relationship as wife and husband to work together in such a close project like this, creating the music, creating the film, something that you are so inspired by from your own experiences and the Eve Ensler Vagina Monologues, etc.?
Well, this project was a little bit of a challenge because it was my first film, and I was really stressed out about it, especially during the editing process when Chris first got involved in the music. So working with him was fun. I don't know if he could say working with me was fun on this project. But yeah, it's great to be able to help each other out on different stuff, and, you know, it's very easy and it's free work.
Okay, now we'll listen to another excerpt in just a moment, but this one is called Hot Flashes. This is about the menopause section. And Chrissy, why don't you set this up for us briefly?
This is just a couple of women talking about having a hot flash and kind of what they go through with the hot flash.
Okay, so Beth, let's hear Hot Flashes.
I carry a fan in my purse at all times. I don't care where I am, I'm not embarrassed to pull it out and start fanning.
Feels like someone pushed your furnace button and you can't stop it, and you're all red and you start sweating and you think, oh my gosh, I'm just soaked, you know.
And I get a lot of nods from a lot of women out there that see me doing this. So, you know, and I'm looking at it like, okay, you know what I'm going through. It's my little private summer.
My little private summer.
Oh, I know, isn't that great?
If we all could just remember that. My little private summer. Okay, and then you also had another one called Responses to Menstrual Suppression. Now, what is this one about?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to incorporate in this film is now that we actually have the ability to control whether we have a period or not, I really wanted to... And I should start by saying that, you know, this film is called A Menstrual Conversation because it's a conversation from these women that I interviewed, and it's not the conversation. So every bit of information is not included. This isn't like a fully educational on the subject. So with menstrual suppression, I kind of wanted to just get the conversation going about finding out what women think about menstrual suppression. And I interviewed this doctor up in Seattle, and she does research on finding a hormone pill for women to suppress their period, and solely not for birth control, but just for suppressing your period. And so I kind of asked women what they thought about this, and this is their response.
Okay.
I don't know if I would get rid of my ability to have children, but I would definitely get rid of the inconvenience of bleeding every month.
No, that's screwed up. I don't like the idea of not having my period. I mean, to suppress your period, I don't know. It's completely unnatural.
But no, I don't think I would get rid of it. I mean, it's like, you know, that's... I guess that's part of womanhood. You can't get rid of that.
I mean...
Okay, that's it?
Yes, that's it.
Oh, okay. So, it sounds like most of your folks weren't that interested in getting rid of the period.
Yeah, there were, the majority of them thought it was unnatural, and there were a few that, you know, wanted to try it. And one girl, Camille, who wanted to try it, she really felt that she goes through a tremendous amount of pain every month when she gets her period, and she hasn't been diagnosed, but I think she has endometriosis, and she suffers a lot. And I think for her, you know, suppressing your period, it's a quality of life issue. If you're suffering that much each month, I think suppressing your period is an option. But for most women, they feel like it's unnatural to do that. And what's interesting about the argument is that people who are in favor of menstrual suppression say that it's unnatural for us to be menstruating as long as we do now. Because women, you know, we get our periods earlier now. We're menstruating now more than we ever have, up to 450 times in our life. And they're saying that that's unnatural. So, which I find sort of interesting because, you know, they think we should take hormones. That's more natural to take hormones. So it's an interesting conversation that I think, you know, there's still research being done. I think women should start thinking about, you know, why is that an option? And it's a good thing that we have the ability to control whether we have a period or not. But why would we want to do that?
And so much of that research is so politically informed.
Yeah.
You know, so it's important to understand that there probably is no objectivity in looking at this kind of issue.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, Chrissy, a little bit more about the demographic. You mentioned the ages. Can you tell us anything about, like, where these women lived, or was there a range in class or physical ability or race?
Difference in race, yes. And, you know, all over this area in Portland. And then I wanted to get a few. I went back east and did a couple of interviews with my mom's friends because I felt like they were very distinct in how they lived their life. And I kind of wanted to get that East Coast vibe a little bit, which is different.
Anything from your mother's friends that you would like to share?
Well, I do want to mention that the title is actually from my mom, which I think is a great story.
Okay, yeah, tell us that story.
She was working in New York City when she was 18, 19, and living in New Jersey, and she was taking the bus back to New Jersey from Port Authority and was getting on the escalator and bumped into this nicely dressed man. And she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me." And he turned around and said, "What's the matter, girl? You got the rag on?" And she told me that story.
Whoa.
And so I think it's so fitting that, you know, that happened to my mom, and that's the title of the film because, you know, you want to know what's the matter, I'll tell you.
So have you all shown this to your friends? I mean, I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
And what have some of the responses from the men been?
They actually, they love it. I think probably out of an experience of, you know, going to it fairly ignorant, and after 40, 45 minutes, I think they at least can approach the subject now. But a fun experience for me, we went back east and showed it in New York City, and her family and my family came to watch it, and I'm sitting there, and my mom next to me, and she's laughing through the whole thing, and that was really nice, just to kind of started a conversation about something I would never bring up with my mom.
Okay.
Under normal circumstances.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, my brother and my dad were at the film, and it was great to hear my brother say, you know, if this was on TV, I would definitely turn this on and watch it. I may not tell anyone that I'm watching it, but I would certainly watch it.
It sounds like then it was real instructive for some of your male friends.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I had an experience in one of my women's studies classes a few years ago when we were discussing body image, and I asked a question regarding a specific aspect of women's body image, something to the effect of, how do women experience this aspect of body image? And the first person to raise a hand and want to respond was a man. And I looked at him, I said, this is the time in the class when you learn to listen, when you leave your privilege at the door, because you really don't know about this. And he says, well, I have sisters. I said, you don't know about this, and you're sitting in a room of people who do. And he was so angry that I would not let him be the first one to set the tone for the discussion. So then I just thought, this is what male privilege looks like. Even on women's body image, you not only have an opinion, but you are an authority that all the rest of us should listen to. No, you need to learn to listen. And
wow.
I don't know what he wrote about the class on his evaluation, but there was just that moment. And you could see the women, the tension in the women's faces actually started to get relieved a little bit when they saw I was going to open the space for them, because a part of women's studies is learning all about how privilege impacts the way we have conversations, the way we listen or don't. So,
yeah.
So you're just reminding me of that.
When I was working on this film, I wanted to specifically work with a very small crew. And sometimes it was me and a camera, you know, handling the sound, and just because I didn't want to have any men in the crew affecting how these women, because I knew that they were going to feel uncomfortable being on camera talking about it. So it was very important for me to have me and like another woman and have that be it, because I knew that that was greatly going to affect the response that I got back.
That sounds like you were real sensitive to the whole dynamic.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to start talking to a stranger about really intimate details.
Of course it is. Now, how long did it take you to make this film?
Oh, I think 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I work a full-time job.
Okay,
so.
Budding filmmakers, you know, don't quit your day job, you know. 2 years to make this film.
Yeah.
So again, listeners, I am speaking with Chrissy Weslow and her husband, Chris Robley, about the film What's the Matter, Girlie? If you would like more information about the film, you can get it at womenshealthfilm@hotmail.com. Email them at womenshealthfilm@hotmail.com, and they will get back to you. Now, just before we hear the one more piece of music that Chris Robley wrote for this film, I want to give you some promos of upcoming shows for this morning's Radio Zine. At 9:30, Lise Avril sits in for Teresa Mitchell, doing Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 10, it's part 4 of Will Seaman's series on Israel and Palestine. Here guests Tanya Reinhart, a professor at Tel Aviv University and the author of Israel and Palestine, How to End the 1948 War. At 10:30 on Art Focus, host Julie Bernard interviews local artist Daniel Duford about his Sleeping Giant at the Merrill Hurst Art Gym. And at 11 on Democracy Now!, a look at the history of safety violations at the Sago Mine, where 12 miners just died, as well as an interview with Rabbi Michael Lerner on the future of Israel. And tonight at 5 for the KBOO Evening News, the second half of the program will be a call-in show asking listeners what you would like to hear on the KBOO Evening News. So stay tuned to KBOO all day long today for some fascinating information and, as always, community-powered community radio at its finest. Okay, we're now going to listen to a track from What's the Matter, Girlie? Entitled Animation, written by Chris Robley. That was Animation by Chris Robley. My guests have been Chrissy Weslow and her husband, Chris Robley, discussing the film What's the Matter, Girlie? Thanks very much for listening, and stay tuned for the rest of the Thursday morning Radio Zine.